There's an amazing passage in John chapter 1, which talks about the Lord Jesus coming. It says about, out of God's abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. The law was given through Moses, but God's grace, God's unfailing love, his mercy and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart, and he has revealed God to us. We talked last week about that passage in the Old Testament where it talked about how this one that would come, this child that would come, would be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And someone pointed out to me afterwards, and it's certainly translated in different ways in different scriptures, that sometimes there's a comma after the wonderful, which makes that a word in itself, if you like. And in a sense, you could put wonderful in front of everything that we see about the Lord Jesus. He is wonderful. He is a wonderful counselor. He is a wonderful listener. He is a wonderful Lord. He is a wonderful Savior. He is a wonderful forgiver. He is a wonderful judge. All of those things together. Today I want to talk about his humility. Because as that passage said to us in John, no one's ever seen God. But his son, his unique son, has revealed him, the Father, or God, to us. And Jesus says it in other places, doesn't he? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So, it seems to me that if I was God, and I was coming to earth, and I wanted to be humble, I would have to hold myself back so many times because I'd just be wanting to, hey, I'm God. How dare you even think that? I'm God. And then, oh no, hang on. I've got to be humble. So I swallow all of that other, which should be okay for me to have because I'm perfect and I'm sinless. But I got to be humble. So I'll be humble. That's the way I think. But you know, the more I think about it, when God came to earth, the humble things that we discover about his arrival, which surprise us, are no real surprise at all when we see the full revelation of Scripture of just how humble God is. His humility is just through and through, it's part of his character. God came in a humble way. That surprises us, it surprised the angels. We read about that in the Scriptures. But it isn't a surprise. Once we understand that if you've seen me, said Jesus, you've seen the Father. That bed of hay that he was lying on, coming as a helpless baby, that was the way he came. We might want to work out this, that and everything else as to why that might have been, but he just came, can we say it like this, as himself. If God was ever going to become flesh, he wouldn't ever do it any other way because he's God. He It kind of plays with the mind a little bit, doesn't it? Philippians chapter 2, you know that passage? Philippians 2, where it says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. What is the most significant thing? What is the most obvious thing about us human beings? It's all that we don't want to recognize. It's all that we don't want anyone else to see. And that is our weakness, our frailty. That's what it means to be human. And for the Lord Jesus, God's Son, to become human, to take on flesh, he took it on as it really is. Not pretending. Not pretending to be this helpless baby, but being the helpless baby. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. That wasn't something that he had to force himself to do. That just was from him. That's the reason we don't get zapped when we don't always do the right thing. That's the crappiest part of the clashy Christmas of the Western world, this stupid idea that, and I've seen so many signs in people's front yards this year saying, oh please Santa, stop by here because I've been good. Everything about Christmas is about grace, about forgiveness. It's God moving and working in us. Not him forcing himself to do it. I'd really rather zap these people, but I better love them. It just flows from him. God came in a humble way. Of course he did. Fragile baby, vulnerable, came at a very bad time, came to a very bad place. Even though, as Jonathan says, and that's true, it could have been that lots of people live like that, but that's the point. He came the way lots of people live. He came to a world that lots of people are living in. He didn't come at a pristine time from our viewpoint. He didn't come when there was, you know, the internet and there was Facebook and there was all the stuff that could have made it so much easier for people to see and understand and whatever. He came in a very earthy sort of a way. At a bad time when there was war, there was cruelty, there was killing, there was all kinds of things going on in that era of time, and it was right in the middle of all that. That might surprise us that God does that, but it oughtn't, because that's what humility does. That's what God does. He comes to us as we are. He comes to our world as it is. He's in us and with us in our fragility, in our vulnerability, in our weakness, in our unspiritualness, if you want to call it that. And it's kind of counterintuitive to us, and so sometimes we find it hard to believe. But that's God. It was his deliberate choice, again, just as we read from the scriptures earlier. In the fullness of time. Wonderful phrase, isn't it? He came not only in a humble way as a baby, but he came through a humble woman. And we read that in the Luke passage, just how Mary recognized this. That she was just a humble, ordinary person. And her spirit rejoices in God, her Saviour, verse 48 says, for he took notice of his holy his lowly servant girl. It goes on to talk in verse 49, the mighty one is holy. He's done great things. Oh, we think of that, great, great things. But then he shows mercy from generation to generation. Coming through this humble woman. We're surprised by that. We're shocked by that. This lady appears to all who know the situation that she's been unfaithful and she's now pregnant. She's a young woman. She may have only been 13 or 14 years old, as was the norm in those days. She was a virgin. She was betrothed to be wed. It was complicated. It became more complicated. Again, it's the kind of world that God comes and invests himself in. That's the kind of lives and the sort of circumstances of our lives that God is deliberately placing himself into. His mighty arm, verse 51 says, has done tremendous things. He's scattered the proud and the haughty ones. He's brought down princes from their thrones, and then he exalts the humble. He's filled the hungry, but he sent the rich away empty. This is God. He shows himself most. He reveals himself. He particularly draws near to those who don't feel worthy for him to draw near to. That's his nature. That's his character. Because he's full of grace. And full of mercy. The people who think that they're worthy to draw near to him are the very ones he doesn't draw near to. We're self-sufficient and proud. We won't draw near to God. We won't see our need for him. We'll continue to go our own way and do our own thing the way we want to. But when it's all broken down, the wheels have fallen off and we don't know what to do. God doesn't stand there with his hands on his hips and say, huh, now you come to me, you rotten little snivelling earthling. He opens up his arms like the father opened up his arms when the prodigal son came home and wraps him up. There was a real scandal going on in Bethlehem. Nazareth went on for some years, I imagine, behind the scenes. All the other children around about the age of Jesus were no more. In that kind of a messy world, in that kind of compromised kind of situation, or appearing to be compromised, in that kind of frightening sort of situation that this young couple are in, that's where God was doing his greatest work. And it's so plainly obvious that it could only be God who would do that, for no one else would do this the way God does it. And he not only came through a humble woman, but when he wanted to draw others in to see what he was doing. Remember what he said? Well, he didn't say it. Doesn't say it in the Bible. But in that little play, they said, yeah, great, you know, in front of all these people, it'd be wonderful. And he said, well, not to the whole world, because that would be weird. It didn't sound very biblical language, does it? But it would have been weird for God to do it that way. That's not the way God works. He's full of grace, full of mercy, and so he came in a humble way through a humble woman and showed himself to some humble witnesses, these shepherds that we read about in the other part of Luke. And if we know anything of what happened as time went by and he became an adult and he began this ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ, in all of his majesty, in all of his truthful power and authority that he had, he shunned publicity all the way through his ministry. God has always shunned publicity in that sense. These shepherds, they were some of the lowest of the low, for no reason. They weren't sinful more than anyone else or whatever. It was just the way society was worked then. Workers of the land were seen in that way. They were more like, if you like, the word peasants has become in use hundreds and hundreds of years after that, but that was what they were thought of. And for God, you know, and sometimes, again, like I say, it's counterintuitive to us or counterintuitive to others that we share the story with, because they think, well, that's just a silly story. I mean, imagine, why on earth would God just do it this way, show these few little shepherds, you know, and the nativity scene? It just seems so unlikely. But that's all because we're looking at God from our own eyes. We're creating a God after our own image. Instead of seeing God is God, God is revealed to us in his Son. The poor, the hungry were dependent and they were needy and they saw their need. And what does Mary say in her song? He fills the hungry with good things and sends the rich away empty hands. That's more talking about a richness in our, what do you call it, attitude, our heart. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall... You can be rich and still be poor in spirit. And you can be poor and still rich in spirit. It's what's down here in terms of how we see ourselves and understand our need. God came and showed himself to just these humble witnesses. And that's just so typical. We come to see as time goes by, there's anachronism or whatever the word is, of as we look back, we say, of course. Because we've seen Jesus as this particular way, of course that would be the way God would work it in some way, shape or form. And that's the way it is for us. The work of God is deep, deep, deep in our hearts. It happens quietly, it happens slowly. Sometimes it happens immediately, cataclysmically, and yet you can't see it. In time, you see the change. In time, anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has passed. Behold, everything is new. God does his best work quietly, deeply. Created the world when darkness was all over the face of the deep. He saved our sins on the cross when the sun stopped shining. God does his best work. Away from the public eye, just in his thing. So I just want to say today, just to encourage you, that in a sense, when God came to earth in Christ, even though we see, yes, he was coming incognito, but in a sense he wasn't really coming incognito. He was coming as he really is. His mightiness, his awesomeness is shown in his simplicity, in his lack of pretense, in his identifying with the lowest. We're so glad that God is like Jesus. If we can believe that, it'll change our life. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in the best possible way through your Son. We believe in him. We follow him. We surrender to him today. In Jesus' name, amen.